The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
You're very welcome back to The Last Word with me, Frank Rainey, filling in for Matt Cooper, and the third and final part of our mental health series. I'm delighted to say that Helen Vaughan is joining us in studio, a psychotherapist with the Maynooth Counselling. The last couple of days we've been discussing various issues, how to be nicer to yourself going forward. We had some interesting tips on Wednesday. Yesterday we discussed the imposter syndrome, and today it's all about work-life balance, Helen.
Which sounds really simple, doesn't it? That when work ends at 5 o'clock that you toddle on home and you don't think about it again. But I think work has changed and workplaces have changed, because most likely your work emails are on your phone. Your boss or your colleagues all have their phones. I don't know if you have a separate work phone to your personal phone. Some people do, so it creates a bit of a boundary there. But it means basically that you're always plugged into work in a way, and that you can be looking at your work emails. People might be emailing at 9 or 10 at night and expecting a response at that time. You know, so there's a peer pressure to be on, to be thinking, to be responding, to be always working. But the drawback of all that, you know, that you're plugged into your email, your calendar, your WhatsApp groups, whatever it is, 24/7, is that you've no downtime. You've no time to, if you're at home and you've a family, to be with your family and 100% with them, rather than, you know, 20% with them and 80% looking at your phone to see what emails have come through, or getting angry over someone that's responded to something from earlier in the day. It's trying to have clear boundaries that, you know, when you leave work at the end of the day, that you leave it behind. It's almost, even get, when you get home from work, get changed, get your work stuff off so that you've changed from that mode to relax mode, get into your comfy trackies, you know. And a lot of women take off their bras when they get home, because that's, it's just, you know, uncomfortable, and you just want to get into a comfortable mode. But it can help to do a mental shift as well, to just be like, I'm not at work anymore, I'm at home now. Maybe if you have to, if you have the kind of workplace, and I know with news, with journalists, you're always kind of keeping an eye on the news.
You're
and
always
seeing
plugged
what's
in,
what.
Aren't you? It's very hard to switch off.
So you might say to yourself, I get home at 6, I'll obviously watch the main news at 9 o'clock, and I'll have a look around at the websites then, Twitter, whatever, and see what the news is. But then plug out again at 9:30 if you can, and don't look at it for an hour before you go to bed at 10:30 or whatever. But you have to kind of make a decision to create boundaries for yourself and to give yourself time where you're not thinking about work or being stressed, or you're basically being present wherever you are.
So when you say you should be making boundaries, are you suggesting like turn the phone off, put it in a drawer at, you know, 6:30 or whatever in the evening, and don't look at it again until it goes off in the morning?
See, it kind of depends on your workplace and what you can get away with. That's the ideal situation. You put it in a drawer, you don't think about it, and you don't look at it. I don't know if any of us are that good at it. Like I run my own business, and I'll find myself looking at the work emails more than I need to. And it's making a decision that after 7 o'clock at night, I don't respond to work emails anymore. So there's no point looking at them at that time. So wait until the next day. But your boss might say to you, here, I sent you this urgent, whatever it is, but I'm the boss, so I can do whatever. But, you know, for you, it might be different. Your boss might say to you, I sent you some breaking story for the morning and you have to go. So I guess being a reporter is a little bit different, because you're always kind of a tiny bit on. But it's just, if you can, switching off your work phone when you go home in the evening, putting it in a drawer, and at the weekend as well, making a decision to switch it off on a Friday evening and not to look at it again if you can, unless you have the kind of job where you have to work Saturdays or whatever. But then in theory, you get time off in lieu for that. So if you're working, you get time off. You know, the other thing is with holidays, people go on their holidays, they bring their work
phone.
What's
a holiday?
Well, see, and you're a funny one for work-life balance. I don't know what to do with you, because you work two roles.
You've your work cut out.
Actually, you've three roles. So
I've several, yeah.
I don't know what to do with you. But anyway, we'll get you out to new counselling on the chat. But well, the other thing is with holidays, take holidays maybe is your first learning from this particular one. But also to actually go, to turn off the phone, to put on your out of office. Don't be looking at the WhatsApp groups for work. Mute them. So you're not seeing people talking about what they're getting for lunch on Tuesday. You don't need to worry about that. You're in Spain, ideally, and it's sunny and it's beautiful. And you're at the beach with your family or your friends or whoever. And you don't have to think about, you know, who's getting what for lunch or who was late for the work meeting or whatever it was. I guess it's just making that conscious decision to switch off and to actually follow it through. Other ways of doing it, some places would allow you to work from home one day a week. So if you've got a long commute, you're not doing that 5 days a week. You're cutting.
But is that a good idea, to bring your office into your home?
I guess if you can have a space in your home that you do work and you sit at a certain desk in a certain room and you do your work, and then when you finish, you leave that room, leave that desk, you know, and go back, that you're not doing it in bed. I have to say I'm guilty of that, though, because it's so comfortable.
Yeah.
But in theory, you shouldn't.
But I suppose it takes the stress out of the commute and all of that, doesn't it? So
it does. But in theory, you shouldn't be doing your work in a place of rest. You should try and have good boundaries with that. And with any of it, take one or two of these tips and try them rather than thinking I have to do all of these things and putting more pressure on yourself. It's just taking baby steps and doing little things to make yourself feel hopefully slightly less stressed than you might have done at the end of last year, or you might in a month from now when you're back at work and settled.
Something that we discussed in the first part of this series earlier in the week was exercising at work. If you can at all, go out for a run at lunchtime, walk to work, cycle to work, those kind of things. And they're all important. And we spoke about that earlier in the week. Do people get a little bit, I know I'm guilty of it too, I suppose, that, you know, people driving to work when they could probably walk, you know.
Or you could probably cycle. I remember there was some stats, and I tried to find them for this, but I couldn't, about how many, within Dublin, I think, that certain percentage, a high percentage of people, their commute is less than 5Ks or, you know, maybe 7 or 8Ks, which is, you could walk, you could easily run it, you could easily cycle it if you're willing to take on the roads. And I have to say, with the number of cyclists on the road now, it's not that daunting. I'm a cyclist, so I know I'm completely biased. But it's not as daunting as it would have been when there were no cyclists in the road. Motorists are more aware of you being there. Get a decent bike that's comfortable. Get some good high glow, day glow, what do you call it? Luminous gear so you can be seen. Get a helmet. You know, look after yourself. Or go for a run at lunchtime, or even a walk at lunchtime, or a yoga class, or meet a friend who works down the road, or do with your colleague. Just get out, even if it's for 20 minutes and you have to come back and go to a meeting. Just try to do something that gets yourself out of work mode for 20 minutes, half an hour, and then you come back in. I was always amazed when I used to run at lunchtime in my old job. I would get so many ideas around, say, stories when I was a journalist, stories I was working on. I'd be out there and I'd be like, oh my God, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. When you step away from it, you almost have...
But are you the sweaty Betty that comes back into the office then? Nobody wants to sit
beside.
Well,
there was a shower. There was a shower. So you could have a shower and get back into your gear and you'd be perfect, not a bother. But having a break kind of gives you a bit of objectivity, a bit of space. And sometimes you do your best thinking or your best creative ideas when you're away from the desk rather than sitting there for 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours, just type rather than, you know, getting out and seeing something else.
Finally then, let's talk about perfectionists. Of which I would be guilty of expressing some of these traits, and of letting go of perfectionism.
Well, because if someone was to say you're a perfectionist, they'd probably take it as a compliment. Why, thank you very much. But which it is to a degree, but it can be perfectionist to a fault, where you never decide that something is finished or something is good enough or something is just, you've done enough to let go. So you can spend hours working on a presentation or a report or the colours on your PowerPoint or something like this, when in fact, to be healthy and good to yourself, there should be a point where you're like, you know what, writing an essay or something, this is enough and I'm going to just hand it in now and stop perfecting, because you might be just putting too much pressure on yourself over it, wasting time on tiny details, comparing yourself to others, which is also not healthy. Compare yourself to yourself is fine, because you know what you're like. You're not looking at someone else saying, look at hers is amazing. She might have spent weeks on that, you don't know.
So when people realise that there is no such thing as perfection, that you will never achieve perfection, that's kind of liberating, isn't it?
It is liberating. And that your sense of perfection may not be realistic at all, that you might be striving to be what you were like when you were, I don't know what age. But
and is there the risk then that your work or some element of your life would be affected then in this pursuit of perfection, that other things kind of fall away and you don't really focus your attention on other things because of these little minute details that you have to get?
Exactly. Like say with work, if you're a perfectionist with work, you might not be working hard on your relationship or your other relationships or your family relationships, you know, the people that you need to see you through for your whole life, because you're busy worrying about a report you've got the next day. So I guess the key with perfectionism is to notice if you are a very strong perfectionist, but if it's leading to anxiety, if you're noticing some of the symptoms of anxiety, which are things like heart racing, sweaty hands, headaches, tense shoulders. Most people with anxiety notice the physical stuff and think, oh my God, am I having a heart attack or some kind of heart condition? When often are you putting yourself under pressure? Is it something in your head rather than something physical? To notice, are you a perfectionist to that degree, and then try to manage it and tell yourself, do you know what, this is good enough and I'm going to stop now and actually have an evening and relax, spend time with my man, woman, dog, whatever, children. And to do that, to make that decision and consciously go, I'm going to step away now and get on with things.
Helen Vaughan, psychotherapist with Maynooth Counselling. Thank you very much. All of these parts of the series, of which there have been three, are available online. We'll put them up on podcast. And I hope they've been helpful. I've certainly got an awful lot from them. And Helen, I really appreciate you coming in here. It's good to see you in studio again. It's good to see you doing so well.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.